You're listening to Breadbox Media. Find out more at breadboxmedia.com.
Good afternoon, I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown, almost our culture, current events, our Catholic faith, 50 minutes every afternoon. Speaking of Catholic faith, there's something beautiful about being Catholic and realizing that ecumenism is a part of what we are. If you read the Catechism, you're going to understand that clearly there, that standing and solidarity with other faiths is a part of being Catholic. That comes of the territory. So hats off to Russell Simmons. That's Reverend Run, of course, Run DMC, for his event, sponsoring this and coordinating this event in New York over the weekend. I am a Muslim too. We're going to talk about that and certainly what it means in the current climate of anti-Muslim sentiment. I think possibly on maybe the highest it has been. I would say September 11th kind of began it all, and now it seems to have only gotten worse. So we'll talk about that, what that looks like, as well as President's Day today. So, interesting responses from many across the country, those who are who may think it's some sort of celebration of the current president, which it's not, but certainly using this opportunity to speak either positively or negatively about the current president, and that's in a story on my Facebook page. We'll talk about all of that and more. I'm Leo Brown, Leo Brown, Almost Hour, back in a moment.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
Good afternoon. We're back at Leo Brown. Leo Brown, Almost Hour, culture, current events, our Catholic faith, 50 minutes every afternoon. President's Day, as we celebrate this combined Washington and Lincoln birthday into one day where we ideally look at the presidency historically and say, well, you know what? First off, what an amazing job it is. You think about those who have now for 45 individuals who have been a president. On the privilege of a lifetime, the responsibility that is so immense, and even to the point that some have sacrificed completely, ultimately, for this role. And it's whomever, right, is in that position deserves respect because of what they've accomplished. And at the same time, as we look across the history of presidents, we know that not always every decision is ultimately ends well. I would hope that generally we look at decisions made, even in recent history, as being in the best interest of the country, the best interest of the citizenry, but not always necessarily ending as well as it could. I'm reminded of the Iraq War invasion and what we saw result from a determination to find weapons of mass destruction that never really seemed to materialize, which is odd because we gave it to them. And I was a proponent. I mean, I'll go back and check my history on this. Facebook wasn't what it is. You can't necessarily scroll back and see what I was saying at the time, but certainly on radio programs and publicly speaking that this is a real deal. There are weapons there that we know because we gave them to Saddam Hussein to combat the Iranians. That was the whole idea. We were looking at them as allies against Iran. So we assumed that these things were still there, which we couldn't find. So they had to go to someplace. Where did they go? We have no idea. They have Pakistan now? We have no idea. So the invasion, as it appeared, seemed to be necessary. But the question I ask now, and I've asked many times looking back, is, was this a vendetta? Was this because, I mean, and I've tried to put myself, believe me, I've tried to put myself in the position of George W. Bush, right? I've tried to put myself in that position of Bush 43 and ask, what would I have done? Because here's the thing. Whether you realize this or not, and I'm not sure many Americans realize this, there was a square, which I'm pretty sure has now been jackhammered up or sledgehammered up, whatever. There was a square in a prominent entrance to a kind of a shopping mall sort of whatever area where thousands traversed on foot daily in Iraq that featured a pretty obvious image of Bush 41, right? He was there. He was in this mosaic, an image of H.W. Bush that people walked on every day. And they did that because this was, of course, to the Iraqi culture, this is the most insulting thing that you can do. The shoe that walks through everything, excrement of animals, whatever, the filthy, dirty, disgusting, insulting shoe on the face of George H.W. Bush every day because of what happened in the late 80s, early 90s, in the tension leading to the Gulf War. So here he is, there in a mosaic, which, you know, we think of mosaics, we think this is a beautiful way to honor. We, as Catholics, we look at mosaics as this is often a shrine, right? We have a mosaic of the Blessed Mother. We have a mosaic of Jesus. We have these prayer shrines that are beautifully crafted with an image of tile, of pieces of tile that turn into this gorgeous shrine. But here in Iraq was your father, right? Who was the president, who you assume deserves all the respect, not only of our country, but you would hope that after his accomplishments as president, he would have the respect of the world. And then, of course, here in Iraq is a mosaic upon which people tread daily. So I've thought about that a lot. I've thought about how much personal vendetta, because this is my dad and we don't do that, especially proud Texans. We don't do that. We don't treat people that way. Therefore, we have to find a way to respond. Convenient that we were on the hunt for weapons of mass destruction, assuming that they were there because we had given them these things. But at the same time, was this the right choice given the circumstances? I still think lots of questions. You know, we look at some of the insurgents of the Clinton administration, Somalia, right? We have Black Hawk Down. We have this movie with what had happened in this African nation that continues to this day to be challenges because of unrest and destabilization there. And I'm not sure that we've ever fully accomplished a mission that says, because we have a military insurgence, we've established a position of greater security and greater prosperity. I don't know. I don't know where that's happened. You can say, Leo, you're an idiot. Look back historically. We've fought wars. We've stabilized the nations that were oppressed under. And yes, maybe. Maybe we got rid of dictators along the way and we've created opportunities for real prosperity. Africa and the Middle East, maybe these are such different creatures that we don't even know how to deal with that. I don't know. But I do know this. Pope Saint John Paul II, as Pope, was certainly against war in both of these situations. I would say, oh, I don't know if he spoke out on Somalia. And Somalia was not necessarily a full-scale war, but we ended up with a military action there that ended badly. But I know for a fact that St. John Paul II was very critical of both Iraq invasions. I know that. And as he sees himself as the Holy Father, as he saw himself, and certainly as Pope Francis sees himself, as the father of humanity, of the vicar of Christ on earth, he who should be embracing all humans of equal dignity, with equal dignity, understanding that when you fight like this, it's a lose-lose. It's not going to end up with a victor who then has some sort of sweet victory, because through this, we end up with casualties, continued casualties. So as we look at this day where we celebrate presidents past, and certainly to some degree, the presidency itself, I think we would do ourselves a favor by praying for those who certainly have sacrificed everything. Not only those who have sacrificed, those who have been affected because of that sacrifice, because of following orders, simply following orders, doing a duty, the civic duty, the certainly heartfelt and oftentimes traditional duty of those in the military, those who have found themselves on the receiving end of something that they didn't expect, perhaps, in some of these situations. And certainly for those vacuums that still exist across our world where there was a destabilization that has left an even greater instability. And I think that we see that now, and we are looking at what may be happening in Mosul, Iraq, with Iraqi forces coming into Mosul to try to restabilize this area that has been overtaken by ISIS. Just a lot of questions now of what ends up happening and how we truly find stability, how we truly find peace, how we truly find opportunities for human beings to flourish. That's what we have to look at. That's what we always, as people of faith, especially as Catholics, we've got to look at humanity, the dignity of humanity. So on this President's Day, that's my prayer. And ask it to be yours as well. And speaking of humanity, we're going to dig a little bit more into I Am a Muslim Too, the event that went on this weekend in New York. More to come in just a moment. I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown, Almost Hour. Back after this.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
Good afternoon. We're back in Leo Brown. Leo Brown, Almost Hour. Culture, current events. Our Catholic faith, 50 minutes every afternoon. Over the weekend, we saw the event in New York, I Am a Muslim Too, sponsored and organized, arranged, whatever, by Reverend Run, Russell Simmons, Run DMC fame. And what an important opportunity. It was arranged initially in response to the travel ban, and even after the recent court decisions, decided to keep this and move it forward, which I think is great, because the more we can shed this light, the better. Because we have an entire religion that is being interpreted through the lens of the actions of very, very few who claim a faith and may not even really embrace it. I think it's interesting if you go back to look at the 9/11 perpetrators, right? Those who did what they did. And you look at the profile of these individuals and where they were and what they were doing and how they ended up doing what they were doing. They were not faithful Muslims. And that has been presented numerous times, that they were not embracing the basic tenets of the faith. And I think if you're not doing it, at least the bare minimum, you're probably not participating in the faith. And as I've said many times, 9/11 was not faith related. This was a political movement, and that was it. And there's like, well, Leo, that's what Muslims are all about. It's all a political thing. Well, you know, we've been accused of that too. Please realize that. We have undoubtedly been accused of that. And you certainly read the history of papal declarations and documentation that's there. There's always been a fine line. And there were times when we had city states where we had the church essentially alongside a monarch that was connected pretty extensively. And for us to look at this, look at one side of the equation without examining our own history, that's an issue. Right? The old adage of the finger pointing points three back. Well, look at those three fingers pointing back. Please do that. And let's look back at our own history and ask, how could we have arrived here? Is there something that actually logically adds up to give us some sort of reasonable platform for criticism? Because we all need to be criticized. We need to look at our own inadequacies. We need to examine those in humility and say, you know what? Yeah, we could be accused of that. Not only could we be accused of that, we should be accused of that. And not only should we be accused of that, we should own up to that. And as owning up, we might be able to find a way to reconcile. My Pope Francis recently came out and said, you know what, on behalf of the church, once again, because it's been done, but he's doing it again, I just want to beg forgiveness from those who have been victims of priest abuse. I want to beg forgiveness. Now, while he's doing that, he's even said before, and this was in another statement, to especially a woman who was, it was a personal encounter, but he said to her, to this woman whose son was a victim, if you cannot forgive, I understand. If you can't forgive, I get it. I totally understand. That is okay. If you can't do this, because he understands. He understands that this is the way things are. That there are times when people just have such a challenge that they cannot get beyond it because it's so personal. But that's not what we're dealing with when we look at the Muslim faith. We're not looking at a personal challenge that has somehow affected us. We're looking at this nationalism, this populism that says we as a nation have a common enemy. I mean, I've heard people say crazy things like that. Islam is our enemy. We're at war with Islam. Ever since 9/11, that's when it happened. Okay, well, first off, you know nothing about Islam and you know nothing about 9/11. You've been swept up into populism. You've been swept up into nationalism, which is always dangerous. Please realize that, because when you get to this point, now we're tribal. We've just become tribal. It has nothing to do with real ethic. It has nothing to do with any sort of understanding of where someone truly is. It's simply where you are, where you stand, where you live, what you see. This becomes your loyalty. Tribalism. And tribalism, if you look at what has happened historically and on continents such as Africa, even within the same city, tribes have obliterated one another. Look at Rwanda in the, mid-90s? Is this when this happened? With the Hutu and Hutu and Tutsi and Hutu. I get them wrong. Forgive me. I always forget how to pronounce that. But two tribes within the same town, one of them murdering 500,000? Is that what it was? Something like 500,000 over the course of just a few days because tribalism. And that's where we are in this dynamic we have now. We have come to the point of political tribalism. And I know leading to this election, I was called a globalist. And if I'm a globalist because I happen to see a bigger picture than just those who are here around me, yes, I love my family. I love my home. I love my hometown. I love my country. And I want others to have opportunities as well. When I add that and I become now extended on globally, which as Catholics we have to be, because we are not a nationalist sect. We're not the first church of the USA that just happens to be Catholic. We're looking at a much broader picture. And if we can't do that, we're truly not embracing our faith. I know people hate it when I say things of that nature. But by doing that, by simply doing that, now you can become an enemy. Because now you're a globalist. Yeah. See where you're coming from. You got no regard for us here in the good old U.S. of A. No? No, I never said that. No, I have a both-and approach. See, but in our world of mutual exclusivity that says you can't be this and that. Now, you can't be a patriot and a nationalist. Really? Why can't I be? Why can't I love my country and want it to be its best and love other countries and want them to be their best, even if I don't live there, even if they're not my home? Philosophically, I can certainly do that. Practically, perhaps even as well, if there are ways that we can enact policy that says, let's make sure that others have what they need as well. But when we zero sum down and we say, okay, there's a winner and a loser, that's a zero sum, right? That's what we're talking about. One wins, one loses. You're down to there's only this and somebody's got to take it. Winner take all. Loser lose all. When we get in that mode, this is what we end up with. Tribalistic attitudes, nationalism. Populism, which populism is kind of what's the movement du jour, which is nationalism. That's what we're seeing. So when you see an example of something that took place of this nature, like what took place in New York over the weekend with I Am a Muslim Too, this is a beautiful opportunity for us to see a bigger picture. Now, I pray every time something of this nature happens, there's a few more seeing the picture, right? Maybe a few more begin to see that, oh, wow, maybe there is something to this. Maybe I was wrong. Maybe I've been blind. You know, and I get accused frequently of, Leo, you think you're right all the time. No, I don't. No, I don't. I think I examine a lot of stuff a lot, and I think I really try to discover truth. I assure you this, personally, I'm more of a mess than most, I promise you. I am more sinful. I am more inadequate. I am challenged on numerous levels. But that doesn't stop me from trying to see a bigger picture. Doesn't stop me from going deeper into issues and questions and exploring. Because it's a beautiful thing. It's one of the many things I love about being Catholic, but I promise you that's one of the things I love the most, is I can do that without it being a threat to my faith. Some faiths, you dig too deep, you've started to discover stuff. Well, we can't do that. Now, because now that's going to be in direct opposition of what we've tried to indoctrinate you in. That doesn't happen in Catholicism. Doesn't happen. Dig as deeply as you want. Look for every opportunity to connect dots, to pull pieces together, and it will not compromise what you believe. It's not going to do that. It's only going to enhance it. One of the many beautiful things. So I am a Muslim too, and I'm a Catholic, right? More to come. We'll be back. I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown Almost Hour. Back after this.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
We're back. I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown, Almost Hour, Culture, Current Events, Our Catholic Faith, 50 minutes every afternoon. Happy President's Day. You've got the day off. Good for you. If you're like the rest of us, or those of us who work, regardless of the holiday, regardless of when it is, what it is, weekends, weekdays, nothing matters. Which, by the way, a couple of great events over the weekend that I was fortunate to be a part of, a fundraiser for an African mission, Ghana mission. So pray for the success of this endeavor. Certainly terrific opportunity, of course, as always, to help those in need. Then a local event for the homeless, Walk for Warmth, and actually for not just homeless, but those who preventing homelessness by keeping people in their homes, by helping them pay their utility bills and their rent or mortgages, whatever. The Lexington Rescue Mission doing terrific work with that. So happy to be a part of that. And then briefly, very briefly, but beginning to work even more connectively with the Amachi group. Amachi is a group of mentors who focus on children with incarcerated parents. And so the mentorship is there to have someone who is trying to do things as best they can to be a positive influence on the lives of these young people. And so that is an important program, again, that we'll be connecting with much more extensively. So privileged, even when I work, to be working in and among these type of organizations that do amazing things. Those reaching out into African countries, those here at home, trying to find ways to make things better on a number of levels. And I assure you, I look for every opportunity I can to support these organizations, to be there for them, and to provide valuable resources, which I know that I can give that if they had to pay for them, would be a blow to their fundraising capacities. So something that I'm happy to be able to offer and certainly proud of being able to do whenever I can. Now, with that, with doing what we can, then we look at things where we're asking, how do we do something more? And South Sudan now declaring a famine, the United Nations looking at this area, the first one in 6 years to say, this is crisis. It's a crisis situation. And unfortunately, civil war, economic challenges, corrupt governments, you name it, all of this being a continued issue in numerous places across the globe, not just in Central Africa, but certainly this is happening there. And when you see something of this nature, and you think about, my goodness, I mean, we've had tremendous amount of aid going to this area. It's happened. But we're still seeing things of this nature. And you got to ask, how do we fix it? Do we get people out? Do we open the door to more refugees? Certainly in our hometown, I know that we have invited Congolese. And that's another, my goodness, I mean, now there's even more challenges in the Congo with children, women being killed, being used as essentially human shields in combat, and just challenges, humanitarian challenges, like we're not even remotely in the year 2017. How does that happen? How this day and age do we have still such strife and such unbelievable atrocity? And again, it's kind of back to what I was saying earlier. When we get so political that we become tribal, when we become so political that we become isolationists, because it's only about us. And if it's about us, well, it can't be about them. And we see these false lines of division that say, we believe this, you cannot believe this. We believe this because we have these values and these principles, right? Which I think that's something we've got to realize, is that there are individuals who assume that they're upholding value. They assume that they've got standards, incredibly high standards, such high standards, in fact, that you can't meet those standards because of who you are, where you're from, what you look like, what religion you happen to practice, you name it. You can't meet these standards. These are our standards. You can't meet them. And whenever we put ourselves in that position to say, I have standards that cannot be met by anyone else, we've just created a chasm. We've opened an opportunity for isolationism. And then enough joining into that understanding creates a horrific us against them mentality. And this is how despotic leadership comes into play, by creating chasms. Creating greater and greater chasms. Us. It's all about us. Them, not so much. Them, I don't even know who they are. Them, they don't belong here. And it's easy to ask the question, how can this happen in this day and age? Hard to find a solution, but I think it's certainly inherent of who we are, unfortunately, who we are as humans, which could be our greatest asset because we have a tendency. We have a tendency to be connected, deeply connected, fiercely loyal. We can do that. But we limit it to where that connectivity and loyalty lies. We think that there has to be some sort of limit to that. There has to be a limit. It has to be within these four walls or within these borders. Or certainly because of this ideology, well, this is where it's limited. Rather than seeing a human family. When we see a human family, well, okay. Now it may be limited because we're talking humanity, but it really becomes unlimited because those qualities that are there for a reason. When we stand up for one another and we help one another, it doesn't have to be an us against them. It can be us and us Because here's a people who are starving. Here's a people who have no resources. How do we fix this? Well, as long as there's corrupt governments and people preventing others from receiving aid, we got a problem. And I know it's easier said than done. All of this is, I understand. We're speaking philosophically here at best. I get it. But wow, if there could be a way to open eyes to say, wait a minute, look, we're really not that different. And especially in these situations, I mean, this is kind of what I was talking about earlier from Rwanda. I mean, these are people in the same geographic area who hate each other. And because of, again, this concept of tribalism, because you are you, we are we, these two can never be. And it creates greater and greater problems. Even in this far into the 21st century, where my goodness, we should be above and beyond all of this. But human nature, unfortunately, triggers something that allows this kind of stuff to happen. So I asked a question on Facebook, how do we fix this? Well, first, I think we work locally, we think globally. We've heard that before. It's the old adage. But I think it's true. I think it's true. If we do what we can, we can maybe get to the point of making enough of an impact. If we all do what we can. We can't all pack up and go to Africa and try to work on this injustice. But I assure you this, there's someone here who is doing something that's connected to something that can begin to make an impact. And if we look for those opportunities, kind of like what I was talking about earlier, find them. They're there. Find ways to work with these organizations. I'm blessed because I get called. I don't really have to look, right? I get the calls. Hey, Leo, can you come help us out with this? Hey, we're doing this event. We need a sound system. We need an MC. Can you do it? Yes, I'm there, right? And I realize, I realize that's a blessing. I know that's a blessing. But you don't have to get the call to be called, right? You don't have to physically get a phone call or a text message or an email. You can look for those opportunities in and around and all over. They are there. Get involved, get connected. Be the change you want to see in the world. Make that happen. That's all we have time for this afternoon on this President's Day. Happy President's Day to you. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown, Almost Hour. God bless.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media Podcasts. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.